I'll be reading from chapter 7, verse 16. Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 24. Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God can come, he answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming with something observable. No one can say, 'See here or there,' for you see the kingdom of God is in your midst." Then he told the disciples, "The days are coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you won't see it. They will say to you, 'See there, see here.' Don't follow or run after them. For as the lightning flashes from the horizon to the horizon and lights up the sky, so the Son of Man will be in his favor. But first it is necessary that he suffers many things and be rejected by this generation. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. People will and went on eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day Noah boarded the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. It will be the same as it was in the days of Lot. People went on eating, drinking, buying, selling, planting, building. But on the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down, rained from heaven, and destroyed them all. It will be like that on the day of the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, a man on the housetop whose belongings are in the house must not come down to get them. Likewise, the man who is in the field must not turn back. Remember Lot's wife? Whoever tries to make his life secure will lose it, and whoever loses his life will deserve it. I tell you, on that night, two will be in one bed. One will be taken, the other will be left. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken the other way. Where, Lord? We asked him. He said to me, "Where the corpse is, there also the wolf will be gathered." Reading my devotion this morning, I was reading about how God has created us to go, "Wow." Some of us bring our children to school in the morning and see that sunrise, and those waiting to open the car doors will see the sunrise. And you think that sunrise, go, "Wow. That's a beautiful sunrise or sunset. That's a beautiful sunset." Or like Lana, she wanted to see a sunrise and a sunset all on the same day. And when we went to Florida, she went to the east coast of Florida and watched the sunrise, and drove all the way to the west coast and watched the sunset all in one day. Well, that was a double wild day. But think about it. God has created us to see beauty and go, "Wow, that's amazing." God has created us to be in amazement of Him. But too often we give more glory and praise to a sunrise or a sunset than we do to God. Wednesday or Sunday we were looking at, are you thankful? Are you thankful for what God has done for you? Now, there's many things that happen that we forget to be thankful for. But God is in charge of everything. In our passage we were looking at on a Sunday, we saw that Jesus was heading to Jerusalem. Now, we know he's heading there to be crucified. He's told his disciples he's heading there to be crucified, because that's the only way to pay the sin debt for all mankind. But as he's passing by this town, 10 people that have leprosy, and leprosy is a disease that made them outcast, separated from community. They cried out to Jesus from a distance, "Master, heal us." Jesus told them to go show yourself to the priest, which is what the scripture says to do if you've been cleansed. And get up, start walking, and then as they're walking, one of them looks to see who's been cleansed, and he comes back to Jesus, falls at his feet, worshiping him, giving praise to God for what has been done. And Jesus said, "Where can people heal? Where are the other people? Why, if you will, is this one, the only one who has thanks? Are the others not grateful that God has done to them?" Scripture tells us that they were all healed. Too often, we forget to give thanks for what Jesus has done for us. He paid the price for our sin debt. Tomorrow, September 11th. Now, for some people, it's like December 7th, 1941. Just a vague memory, something happened, but it didn't really impact us. Those of us that were alive in 2001 remember the events of that time. And it has a different impact on us than those that have been born since. December 7th, 1941, I don't think anyone in the auditorium right now was born after or before December 7th, 1941. And so we look at it as an event of history, but it doesn't bring about an emotional response. It was in our minds intellectually an attack on the country, but it really didn't affect us that much. And too often, what Jesus has done is like that 9/11. That December 7th, a vague memory, but it really doesn't impact what we should do today very much. After December 7th, 1941, people were lining up to join the military. After September 11th, 2001, people were lining up to join the military because we were under attack to protect our country. How many people are lining up worship God? You cannot hear the door open and people say, "Let me in, let me in." And is there a seat to be found? That's too often like that. For what God has done for us. He has prepared a way for us to have our sin debt forgiven. People are like, win the lottery. They have to tell everybody. But God made everything different. If you win the lottery, you can only buy a small portion of it. And then it doesn't last. But God paid the price so that we could have a relationship living with Him for all eternity. Jesus had been preparing the way. The Pharisees asked a good question. When will the kingdom of God come? Because Jesus had been preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." So when is it coming? Well, we need to understand what the kingdom of God is. It has a present and a future aspect. Jesus says, it's not like something you can say, "There it is." Like if you see a rainbow, "There it is. You see that?" That's not like the kingdom of God. But he said, the kingdom of God is in your midst. One phrase I like to describe I've used to describe the kingdom of God. It's the rule of God in the hearts of men. When I was in the Navy, many, many years ago, I think back and realize it was that long ago. Today, there was an assassination of a Christian political leader who was born after I got out of the Navy. It could have been that long ago. The man who was shot today, Charlie Kirk, now 31 years old, he was born in 1933. I got out of the Navy. All that time, God was a little bit over. Charlie Kirk recently said, I worship a God that defeats evil, and we worship a God that wins in the end. Some people might say, why did God allow this man to die today? That's my story. Not too long ago, an older man that had been preaching the truth for decades, John MacArthur, believed in the Lord. Every message he preached was from the depth of Scripture. Why did God not let me keep preaching? That's God's in charge. And he knows the right time for each of us. God is in charge. And even though someone tragically died today, God's still in charge. God still wins in the end. That those decades ago when I was in the Navy, I went all over the world. And we came in, when our ship pulled in to foreign ports, you get off the ship, and it looks just like any city in the United States. We got so much different geography in the United States, it could be anywhere. Pulling into France, it's like places in the United States. Now, pulling into Israel, it's like places in the United States. Pulling into Egypt, it's like places in the United States. Pulling into Germany, looks like places in the United States. Pulling into Canada, looks like places in the United States. Pulling into Virginia, looks like places in the United States. But no matter where we pulled in, and people look the same. And you did not know what their allegiance was, what country that they claimed to be the one that they listened to, because that was in their hearts. But Jesus said, you can't see it because it's within people. As you get talking to people, you can find out, is the kingdom of God in their hearts? Jesus is coming to bring a physical kingdom. He's coming back. That's the future kingdom. But Jesus said, the kingdom of God is in your midst. I thought about this old picture that I used to see. Where's Waldo? Now, have you ever seen a Where's Waldo picture? You know Waldo's in there somewhere. Waldo is in the picture. Well, Jesus is telling the Pharisees, the kingdom of God is in your midst. He said, look, here I am. Do you see me? And in one of those Where's Waldo pictures, when she spots, now Waldo, you can't help but see Waldo every time you look at that picture. Because you figured out where he was. He's always dressed in a red and white striped shirt, right, and he wanted his head. I remember writing that voice, I said, well, Jesus is right there in the midst. And he says, there's a future kingdom coming. And going to be visible to everyone. There's going to be a day after I depart, Jesus will tell. In the time you're waiting for my return, will people say, go over there, he's over there. Over there, he's right there. Don't believe it. Because it's just like lightning that flashes across the sky from one horizon to the other and lights up the sky. Everybody will see it. Everyone will see Jesus return. And that's described in Revelation chapter 19, the future coming of Jesus. But, Jesus said, first, I must suffer. Because Jesus is the only day of Christ for our sin. And Jesus said, if you're going to look forward, or are you going to want to experience the days the Son of Man was among you, but it's not going to happen. Your body's not going to die. And what's going to happen during that time? People aren't going to be paying attention. It's like the days of Noah. Noah was building the ark and preaching at the same time. But people kept going about their business, ignoring the message that judgment was coming. Lot proclaimed the truth of God, but people didn't listen. When God shut the door of the ark, Noah and his family went inside, and judgment came on all the rest. When the angels of God led Lot and his family out of Sodom, judgment came. Now, we don't know for sure exactly where the ark that Noah was on landed. It says the mountains of Ararat, and that's a big area. But I can tell you, I've been to the place where Sodom and Gomorrah is made. It's a big hole in the ground. It's the lowest part of dry land on the entire planet Earth, the Dead Sea area. When Lot was living there, it was green pasture. And that's why the wildlife showed this way. But now it's a hot desert place. If you want to get warm in the middle of winter, go to the Dead Sea. And you will get nice and warm. That's why King Herod built his winter palace down in that area. Because it would be snow in Jerusalem, just a few miles away. That way, down, about a mile down over elevation. It's hot, even someday. But people were not paying attention. That's how it's going to be. Look around. Are people paying attention to the truth? I think it's still out of sight. God wins. Whose side do you want? God wins. That's what Charlie Kirk said. Last quote, God wins in the end. God wins in the middle of the middle field. He's always winning. It just seems like he will win. They're not winning. It's just consecration. Give them another chance to win. But judgment is coming. And it's going to affect everybody. You're going to have two people asleep, one's going to be saved and one's going to face judgment. You're going to have two people during the day working. One's going to be saved and another's going to face judgment. Judgment is coming to everyone. And Jesus wants everyone to be prepared. Right now, we're waiting for the coming rule of Jesus over planet Earth, visible. He's coming back in the sky with all his armies with him. Everyone is here. But right now, we're in that waiting for him, where the kingdom of God. Are you part of the people of God? Jesus had a man come to him and ask him. Jesus said, no one can see the kingdom of God. You born again. You must be born again. Born from above. Let us share that message with all of you. As long as you have a vision, stay in the world. Lord, I thank you that you are in charge. You know the right way, the right time for everything you do. We don't have to know all the details. We don't have to know why you allow things to happen. You know and you will plan the best way for your best way. You use us in life and on your work. Lord, let us share your fruit with others. Because once each person dies, there is no more Jesus in the world. We must make that decision. Let us share it.